The Stateside Soccer Show, talking the beautiful game in the land of the free. Breaking down Major League Soccer, US Men's National Team, and more with Logan and Jordan.
Hello and welcome to the Stateside Soccer Show. My name is Jordan. With me, as always, is Logan. Logan, we famously don't talk ever off stream here. How's your day going?
You know, we do. We wait. We don't talk at all ever. We usually wait until about a minute before to jump on, and then we awkwardly sit there and look at each other until you hit the play button.
I had asked Logan how he was doing. He said, "Don't ask me. Let's go." So I pushed countdown. I'm like, now that he's on air, I feel like I can get away with asking him so he doesn't come across like a jerk.
Yeah, and you know what's funny is, like, I always wonder that too. And I'm sure it happens because you don't like everybody that you always work with, right? So I always wonder, don't you dare say, "Oh, I always like people." I knew you were going to say that. I had a feeling. Oh, I like everybody that we work with. What's wrong with you? You know, we don't.
No
always
comment.
Get along.
Go ahead. Yeah.
That hurts. But you know what I mean. Like, I always wonder that. I try to pick apart commentating teams and go, I wonder if they really like, if they respect each other, if they like each other, or if the guy sitting next to you on the Stateside Soccer Show is just as annoying as anybody else in the world. So
I'll tell you when he's annoying. It's when he's going off about USL on Friday.
I just can't believe how wrong you were about everything.
No, we do talk outside of the show. This is all just a joke. Thank you, Logan, for spilling your drink once again. Everybody, watch the Pod Awakens, our Star Wars podcast, Chronological Clone Wars, in a couple weeks, and you'll see him do it again right at the beginning of the show.
It's become a regular occurrence.
So we are talking match day 13. A disappointing match day for some, definitely on this side of the Stateside Soccer Show Derby. It was a disappointing week. Over on Logan's end, maybe a good match day. This is one you couldn't go to because it was up here. Now, originally, this was the plan, right? The plan was to come up on this weekend. That didn't work out. I was thinking about it the whole week, too, because I was so busy. I'm like, good thing Logan came up a few weeks ago. But also, like, anytime, was it the Friday night game for the Orioles? I was like, wow, this would have been the game we had went to. And I was like, you know, constantly thinking, like, what a weird life we could have had here. A different vacation for you. We would have seen the Orioles win. We still would have seen the Union loss. So really not much different happened during
I've been happy.
These games. You would have been happy, yes.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I guess we'll start with that. I don't think it's on our list of topics because both the teams are not very good, but I did just kind of want to start with that real quick before we dive into the bigger matches, I guess you would say, right? Yeah, you mentioned here too, rivalry week. They do this every so often where it's a few big rivalry matches and the rest of the league is not on rivalry matches, and they'll do that again in a couple weeks when it'll be like Portland Vancouver instead of like Seattle Portland like it was in this. And it'll there was no El Trafico, which is one of the biggest rivalries, right? There was no Hudson River Derby. So I mean, like, that kind of stuff. Yeah, it was just a few of them. Really, Hell is Real and the Cascadia games, right? I mean, what else? What other ones were big rivalries?
I mean, it's supposedly supposed to continue into this week, but I looked at this week's matchups. Cincinnati, Atlanta, that's not a rivalry. DC, New York, I guess proximity.
That one is. That one is. Yeah.
Is it?
That,
okay.
Yeah.
Montreal, Columbus, I guess the Wilfred Nancy Derby. You have Orlando City, Miami. That's one. New York City and Philadelphia. They don't like each other. Austin and Houston. I could see that, obviously. But everything else is, I don't understand.
Usually the way that it works, and I'm looking, doesn't seem like they did it this year. Or maybe they, yeah, usually what happens is they go ahead and will put the branding of Rivalry Week on the schedule next to the games that it applies to, but they didn't do that this year.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm looking at ones that took place this year, I'm looking at right, like this week would be Columbus Cincy, Dallas Austin, Portland Seattle. I would also say SKC and Houston, because they do have a history of a rivalry back to like 2011.
Yeah, and I would say the reason why Chicago and St. Louis is because I think those two cities haven't liked each other.
Oh, maybe because Cubs and the
Cardinals. Yeah, that's the only reason I could deem. I mean, they're the closest to each other, I think. But
and we have games this. We have games Wednesday.
Yeah, it's a really weird couple of. I think because like it gets gearing up to catch up some of the teams that have been.
Yeah, well, bit, but... maybe because Miami still plays on Wednesday.
Oh, that's true.
That they're not giving them the week off ever. They're play, they're going to play more games than usual. Is what
you know? It's funny they don't. Although they do play Saturday.
Yeah, they play Saturday too.
they're gonna have like 38 games. It's gonna make no sense. They're like, what?
Everybody else will have like, yeah, what the 34 that there is, and they'll have 38. Let's get to yeah, but with Philly and Orlando, this is something that I mentioned last week with Philly is you can't be giving up two or three goals early all the time because it's going to end up biting you in the butt one of the times. And that's exactly what happened. You know, Union start clawing their way back. They make it 2-1 and you're like, oh, great. And then it's 3-1. And that was kind of the nail in the coffin. They did still have chances, though. They had a penalty that was missed. They had chances to make this thing even. Couldn't do it. 32 shots to 13. But out of those 32 shots, 7 on goal. While Orlando, a lot more proficient there. They were 4 shots on goal and 3 goals. So really only one that you know, shot on goal that ended up not going in the back of the net. But I think the biggest thing, by the way, Ladero, a hat trick of assists for him. So that's been a good signing so far as he's starting to kick it in. The big thing for me when I look at what is going on with the Union is conceding. I don't think that's shocking to say. And it's trying to figure out why the defense is the way it is. And I don't know. He keeps playing low above Elliott, which I don't really get. A lot of Union fans not really sure why that is. Most people would say Elliott is the better defender. But really, I think the big killer thing is Martinez, again, El Brujo, giving the ball away. It leads to goals immediately, almost. And it's just... so frustrating if you're a Philadelphia Union fan, and they got to figure this out soon because the Union faithful are getting really restless right now. Yes, they signed Kevin Sullivan. Great, great deal. 14-year-old's not going to save your season, right? Like you don't want to put that pressure on that kid. So that's not going to save. He doesn't even play the position that is most needed, which is the defense right now. They got to figure that part out, and that's really all that they need. I don't know the last time they lost 3 in a row at home. It doesn't happen much, and that shows you right there something's wrong. I do put more of the blame on player acquisition than something like coaching. This team was improving every year, but then last year did not make the big signings or depth signings that would be able to help this team make it back to MLS Cup. They end up losing to Cincy this year. They started off a little slow. Then they started doing well after CCC, and then they've kind of hit a little bit of a skid. I do think this is a skid. I don't think that this is really how bad the Union are. You know, that RSL game, they played better than RSL. It's really only the Seattle and DC Orlando game, this 3-game set here, where they've been looking a little worse for wear, I think. But a general theme for the season has been conceding too many goals. Blake is out. I don't think the goalkeeper is an issue, though. Semele's, you know, a good goalkeeper, and it doesn't really seem to be anything he's doing wrong. But when you're not investing in the team like this, and the investment you're doing is signing 14-year-olds and working on your academy instead of maybe bringing over players, you know, Carranza is probably off in the summer. What happens then, right? So lots of issues there with like the player acquisition side, which I put more on ownership than even probably, I'm sure Ernst Tanner wants to probably sign some bigger players as well, but just not a great spot for the Union to be in right now. With these games at home, Orlando on the other side, Logan, as we turn the page to Orlando and your team here, kind of got it going, at least away from home this week. They score three. Duncan McGuire got on the board. Muriel scored twice. I know earlier I mentioned that the Union went down 2-0. They didn't. Sorry. No, Ura scored first, and then it goes to three straight goals that really made it difficult for the Union to come back. But it felt like a 2-0 thing after Ura scored. But yeah, Orlando, they turn it around here. Away from home, is this a home thing? Is it, what, last year they were very good away from home and sucked at home, right? Isn't that what happened last year?
Yeah, they were awful at home. They've been awful at home, and not much has changed, but this is easily their best game they played this year. I thought that they finally looked like the team, and they won 3-2. But against a Union team that is usually pretty tough to beat at home, I'd still say that's a really tough environment to win in, even though they've kind of had a skid here. And I agree with you. I think the Union, it's more of a skid. But the other thing, too, that Orlando has in the bank, and I think that the rest of the Eastern Conference has right now, is that there are only two teams that I think are really good in the Eastern Conference right now. The rest of them, I feel, are very vulnerable, I guess, is the best way to put that. I mean, if you look at, Jordan, the goal differential, and, you know, there's a lot of teams sitting in the negative or right around one or two. I mean, there's not a team completely run away with it except for Miami. I think Cincinnati has the second most, and that's five goals. But you look at the rest of the East, man, they're all shipping goals, and they're all scoring goals. It's just like, when does that eventually turn into maybe a team saying, you know what, let's get defensive and start to really defend, and hopefully those goals output, you know, the goal outputs succeed in what they're doing. But I don't know. I look at that, and I look at Orlando, and Orlando, again, they've been awful all season. They're at 12 points, and now they're currently sitting just a couple points shy of teams that are sitting in the eighth and ninth spot. They've got a game in hand on the teams up above that in the seventh through the first spot. And Miami's got two in hand. I mean, the East, I would say, is pretty much up for grabs below the Red Bull. I think the other two teams, I mean, honestly, I'm starting to think that Miami and Cincinnati might separate themselves from the rest of them. Like, it's starting to really feel that way, especially Miami. I don't know. It's interesting, but the Eastern Conference, I think, is very winnable. And I think all you got to do is get in the playoffs. And if the Union, like you said, if the Union get into a home playoff spot, or if Orlando could sneak back up into a home playoff spot, then, I mean, you're looking at a pretty tough team to beat on the, you know, at home on the road for these teams that are lower seeds that'll have to go in there and play. Because I do, I still think Philadelphia, still think Atlanta, Columbus are better teams than the three teams that sit above them. You know, I think Orlando's still up for questions just because of how awful they've been defensively. But, yeah, I mean, this East is a crapshoot, man.
Yeah, I mean, DC's been on fire lately, right? When it comes mm-hmm. to they're very good at home. On the road, they're not as good, DC, but they, up to seventh. Benteke's flying high. That's great for them. You have Toronto's kind of turned it around underneath Herdman. I do agree. I think Miami and Cincinnati would be the teams in the East that you look at and you say, not who we want to face in the first round of the playoffs. And then maybe Red Bull. But I would think, like, Toronto, I'm still kind of jury out on them. Negative goal differential, right? Five losses, but only one draw. They're winning a lot. Not a lot of draws. They're either winning or losing. And really, they're in that top four. They're the ones with the most losses. It's Toronto. So I'm still kind of jury out on Toronto. But Miami and Cincinnati, for sure. I mean, Cincinnati is just showing that they're always going to be a team that is probably in that top four in the East because they'll spend money. They have a great GM. They have a great coach. And they're working on, you know, making that team. I mean, look, they lost Brandon Vasquez this offseason, right? And they're just still rolling, which is great for Cincinnati to be up there in that top. Columbus, they're kind of in that Philly range right now. That they're 1 point above Philly. Yes, they have CCC. If they win CCC, I think we talked about this in the offseason. Like, of course, you trade that over even probably making the playoffs.
I was going to say,
you definitely trade it for a top four spot because then you'll be the second ever MLS team to lift that trophy. So that would be quite huge. You would get the berth into the Club World Cup. Like that would be huge. So I don't think they're that worried about it, Columbus, right now. But yeah, they haven't even been as good as what people thought, right? I think there was a lot of people that thought after MLS Cup, oh, they're going to go on and be top of the East. You know, they're going to be running it again up there. But so far, no. 1.36 points per game. Yeah, and then NYCFC, Charlotte, DC are all up there as well. Kind of a surprising state of the table right now. We'll talk about a surprising state of the tables when we get to the West. Okay, yeah, so let's start with Hell is Real. Cincinnati beat Columbus 2-1. It was their first ever win in Columbus. And it was their first meeting since the Eastern Conference Finals last year. There you go. You have the first win against Columbus in Columbus in club history. And since he led this one 2-0. Then we have the... Oh, they were all... late goals, weren't they?
Yeah, I think it was like the 74th minute, I think was the first one scored.
Yeah, I was out at our Mother's Day celebration, and they had this on at the bar, but it was in the other room. It wasn't in the room that I was in. But yeah, 74th minute, 76th minute, and then the Columbus goal in the 89th minute. So it was all nil-nil up until that 74th minute. With a Costa assist, he's going to score in the 76th minute. And then Arfstin for Columbus pulls one back in the 89th minute, but not enough to get it done at home. They did have more shots than Cincy. Cincy had more shots on goal, and the possession favored Columbus. But I think Cincy is the one to beat in this rivalry. I think going into Columbus, winning their first game in Columbus, huge statement for Cincinnati. Acosta doing Acosta things. That's why he was an MVP last year. He's probably not going to be one this year. Look, let's be real. If Miami keeps up what they're doing and Messi keeps up what they're doing, Messi's going to be MVP, okay? But he's going to be in the conversation. He's going to be in the conversation for the whole season, I think. But yeah, like you said, second highest goal differential, Cincinnati with 5. The highest, of course, Miami with 15. Such a big class of difference here. But also, when we're talking about... Let's take away the goal differential aspect, right? Because yes, Miami scores lots of goals. But what we're not considering with that is Miami also gives up a bunch of goals. 20. Cincinnati has given up 10 all season. That is the lowest amount in the East. Not even close. So if they can, if Cincinnati can just figure out a little bit more scoring and get higher than 15 in the goals department and keep giving up not that many goals, when we get to like playoff scenario, they can beat a team like Miami because they won't be giving up as many goals. But also you might say, well, then, you know, Miami does score like 35 goals. So it's still going to be a big test for Cincinnati if they get to that stage. But definitely think Cincinnati right now is flying high. They're right behind Miami, but again, they have a game in hand. They can absolutely catch Miami with playing that game in hand. When are they going to play that game in hand compared to Miami, who's playing every single week, it feels like? We don't know. So maybe by then they will be out of form.
Yeah, so Cincinnati, and it's not a move that we really talked about or highlighted. They got Kevin Kelsey from Shakhtar Donetsk, and he had his first goal in his first, I think, first appearance for Cincinnati. If not his first, he's now replaced Bupenza, Yuya Kubo was playing striker to start the match, and he's usually in a wingback position or had been in a wingback position, but they move him forward because they've run out of options because Brandon Vasquez leaves Brenner last year. They thought Bupenza was going to be somebody that they could slot in, but he's just been such a nightmare on and off the field, more off the field than, you know, when you're getting spotlighted for things you're doing off the field that are wrong, your tenure usually, and I don't think Pat Noonan puts up with that. I think that group there, they're quick to move on from people like that, like Chris Albright. I'm not sure that that's something that they'll allow to, because once you infect a culture like that, I mean, I would not be shocked if he's moved in the summer to one of the clubs that would just take him on for cheap, and they might not get much from him. And honestly, it's too bad because I do think he's talented, but I don't think he sticks around in this league. And if he does, I think there's going to be suspensions handed down from the league just for the nonsense that he's done, just everything he's done and been involved in. And it started this offseason. So I think Cincinnati's done with him. But like you said, Jordan, their biggest thing, and it's funny because of how poorly their defense had performed in years past, but last year seemed to be riding the ship. And then this year, one of the best defenses in the league, if not the best. So I think Cincinnati has it going. I think they understand that they're the team to beat. They're the supporter shield, at least in the regular season. They are the team to really beat. And if not for a really awful collapse in the playoffs, I think you're talking about this team as the MLS Cup champions last year, supporter shield champions. Like, this team is they're really good. So I'm interested. It'll be a good clash of titans if Cincinnati and Miami meet up in the Eastern Conference Final this year.
No, the Titans are in.
Oh, that's football. That's right.
They're in the NFL.
That's Nashville. Speaking of that, no, I'm kidding.
Lots of 3-2 games this week, and as you point out, all of the people that scored three, all the teams that scored three in those 3-2 victories were the road team. DC beat Atlanta 3-2. Miami beat Montreal 3-2. Orlando beat Philly 3-2. NYCFC beat Toronto 3-2. And San Jose beat Colorado 3-2, as San Jose has another shock win. They did one of those recently as well. So much so, Logan, I just want to highlight this real quick before we maybe jump to some of the other stuff. San Jose won, which was enough to put Portland in last place of the West. The team that started off like in first place in the West in week one. I know that's not even like people will be like, well, yeah, it's 1 week. They were kind of hanging around that top for like the first few weeks. All right, we're only in week 13. They've played 12 games. And now Portland sits all the way at the bottom because they end up losing to Seattle, their rivals. And we highlighted this last week that Portland was just above Seattle, like just above Seattle. By they were even on points, I believe, but were Portland was sitting just above them. Well, Seattle won that game. Seattle now sits just 3 points outside of a playoff spot, as Austin and St. Louis are right above them with 16 points, and Portland sits at the bottom with 10. So there's only a 6-point gap from 14th to 9th right now to get into the playoffs. That's why all these teams are not mathematically eliminated until like the last week of the season. But just what is going on with Portland? Why are they down? They seem to have been flying so high the first couple weeks, and then now they are rock bottom. And to be honest, I don't know if they're going to do much better anytime soon.
I mean, we knew going in their defense was highly questionable. Because
yeah, that's why the 4-1 victory they had was a shock.
Yeah, right. I mean, they gave up 58 goals last year, Jordan. That's not great. That's one of the worst defenses, and arguably, I think they were as far as advanced stats, they're one of the worst defenses. And I think I remember that from previewing them. That's why I was just so concerned about, and Portland Timber fans were after me after I told them that they weren't very good and that this team is not going to get better under Phil Neville. But I think you and I had legitimate concerns when it came to Phil Neville. And we knew, Jordan, they've never been able to defend under Phil. Like in Miami, they couldn't defend. They still can't. Portland, they can't defend. And now they still can't. Like nothing's gotten better. It's gotten worse. They've given up 25 goals. If San Jose wasn't as bad, they'd be the worst defense in the league this year. I mean, it's getting to a point, Jordan, where this team was old and it had some of those pieces that you just kind of need to shed, like the Charas. I think you just need to get rid of Felipe Mora. Like, I'm not sure that he's really if he's the answer. I just don't know what kind of edge he brings. They bring in Jonathan Rodriguez, who think people thought that was going to be a huge signing. That's kind of been it's hard to learn this league. No matter where you're coming from, I don't care if it's Liga Mekis, I don't care what, you know, if they're coming from Europe, this is a tough league. And ultimately, I think that's it. I think they can't defend. They don't have any, you know, scoring options that they consistently rely on. I think if Vander's kind of had his foot on the way out, because I think he thinks he's better than he really is. I don't think he really adds a whole lot to what they do. I don't think he's that Hani Mukhtar type where he puts a team on his back. I think he's got moments and splashes of excellency, but I don't know. I think that ultimately you put all that together with a Phil Neville at the helm and it's ultimately not going to be good. And their ownership's crap. So it's they're skeezy. They don't run the operation right. Jordan, I've not known the Portland Timbers to be good. That's what's wild, is that they get to that one MLS Cup final, but I felt like they stumbled into that one.
Do you know the last time they won? They have two wins. Do you know the last time they won the game? They won a game.
They have two wins. I would say third week of the season.
You're right. March 9th.
Really?
March 9th. Two months ago was their last win. At that point in the season, they had 7 points, which I believe was like some of the best because it was three games. They had two wins and a draw. They were undefeated 3 games into the season. Everybody's like, wow, maybe this Portland team is all right. Then they lose to Houston. Then they lose to Philly. Then they lose to Vancouver. 3 games in a row. Losses. They draw with SKC. They draw with LAFC. They drew with Columbus. So then sometimes you're like, well, they drew with some good teams. Then they lose to LAFC. Then they lose to Charlotte. And then they lose to Seattle. And that's where they're currently at. Guess what? They get to face red hot San Jose next for a battle of the bottom of the table. And we'll see how that goes. That's Wednesday. And then they have to face Minnesota, who's best points per game in the West. And then back to facing SKC. Then back to facing Austin. Like, they have a pretty rough schedule. And I guess you could say it's a rough schedule because they're last place in the West. So any team above them, you're like, well, I mean, you know. But I don't know. I mean, maybe they can get something against SKC because that, you know, they're only 1 point above them. maybe they can get something against San Jose, but Minnesota's going to be tough. Austin will probably be tough. Then they have to face Houston again, St. Louis, San Jose, Vancouver, Minnesota. I don't know. By the time we reach League's Cup, they could still be bottom, because then they have to face Dallas, Nashville, RSL, LA Galaxy. I mean, really, Nashville and Dallas, they might be able to get some stuff out of. But, like, RSL and Galaxy will be tough games, and that's right after they face Minnesota two times in the next couple months. Minnesota's been very, very good. I'm worried. I'm worried about Portland right now. But if you're Seattle, I mean, look, you might be having an awful season right now, but you just beat Philadelphia Union while they were at home. You then go and beat the you go and beat your rivals, Portland, while at Portland. Like, that's pretty special if you're Seattle. And you do it on Sunday night, like the only game of the day. That's pretty good if you're a Seattle fan. And you're rising up the table. You're only like 3 points off of a playoff spot. So I'm sure Seattle's probably feeling a little good there. What's your thoughts on Seattle? You think they can do this, get into the playoffs? I mean, I get, that sounds stupid because they're 3 points out. So I guess anything's possible. But
I'd say my only concern with Seattle is their aging roster. The later you get into a season with multiple competitions, they still have League's Cup to play. They've not been good at home. They're 1-1-3. They've actually done more of their damage on the road in collecting points. That's never a good sign. Ask Orlando. It's not a recipe for success. And I do. I have tremendous concern that they're not going to be able to stay healthy. That Rui Diaz has, you know, kind of put a spark back into him a little bit, but he's not going to be there all season. Like, it'd be ridiculous to think that he would be. And again, outside of that, you look at Jordan Morris, who's not really made any kind of impact lately. It's just a team that I think is like the walking wounded. And I feel like that. I actually feel they're in worse positioning than Portland, because I feel like it's going to be a little while for them to shake loose some of those limbs. Whereas I feel like Portland could just shake them all loose and they'll be like, okay, let's get rid of Chara. It's time for him to go. Mora's got to go. Evander, we can sell for good money. Whereas I feel like Seattle's just built with a lot of veterans that they're going to have a hard time saying, get out of Seattle. Because I mean, could you imagine if they told Stephen Fry, and if they tell, you know, Jordan Morris and the Roldans, and the, you know, I don't see them going to them and saying, you know, it's time to move on.
You know, I think I'm looking at this table right now. Like, I'm looking at the schedule that they had, Logan.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they actually had a pretty tough schedule to start the season. I think now we kind of look at it like they lost to LAFC to start off. They drew with Austin, who's been better than I think people had thought. They're in the playoff spots. They drew with Colorado. Colorado's been up there. They did lose to San Jose. That's one where you're like, my bad. Right? But, you know, sometimes San Jose will pull off those victories. They lose to the Galaxy. Galaxy flying high. Right? Then they smash Montreal. And you're like, okay, maybe they're turning a corner. And I do think they kind of turned a corner in April. Then they draw with Dallas. Yeah, that one sounds like if you look at Dallas now, you're like, okay, maybe they could have won that one. But it was a road point. Not bad. They lose to Vancouver. Vancouver's been doing well. They lose to DC, who's been playing well. Then they beat Philly. They draw with the Galaxy. And they beat Portland. So, like, I don't know. I feel like maybe people are a little too harsh with them because we're used to how high-flying Seattle usually is. But I think they're starting to turn that corner. Now, it's really going to be put to the test when they have to face RSL, Vancouver, back-to-back in a span of 3 days. They play RSL on Wednesday, and they play Vancouver in another Cascadia match on the Saturday. That'll be tough. Then they have to face St. Louis on the road. Then they have to go back home and face RSL again.
Who's one of the best teams on the road ever.
Right.
So, in the last 2 years. That's
so
a tough
I'm saying, I'm saying yeah. all this, but then it could immediately fall back down because of this tough schedule right here. But I don't know. I think we look back at that first week. I think the first few months, people are probably like, well, like, oh, you couldn't beat Austin at home. You couldn't beat Colorado at home. That is probably their biggest fault, is that they're drawing so many games at home. And they lose a couple, right? They lost the Vancouver game at home.
And their June and July is probably one of the easiest schedules that any MLS team probably has.
I don't know if I agree with that. Minnesota and Houston will really throw that June into a little bit of a ringer there. But yes, SKC, Minnesota, Houston, Dallas, Chicago is their June. So you're thinking, okay, now you're facing Dallas at your home. Hopefully you beat them. Yeah. Take a point against SKC, beat Chicago at home, right? Then you're getting like 6 points, 7 points there. July, you have New England, Austin, St. Louis, LAFC, Minnesota. I do think July is going to be – that LAFC, Minnesota at the end of July is rough.
They got four games.
Oh, but Minnesota is a League's Cup game. All right, never mind. So you can take that one out. So league-wise, the toughest one there is LAFC.
Yeah. Man, they got a lot of home games, man.
Face Minnesota again in August. Like, how many times are they going to face Minnesota?
they could just camp out. Allianz. But that's what? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 6 home matches out of your 9 that you have in June and July. Like, that should... I mean, Minnesota's
been really good.
Minnesota's been really good on the road. I don't think they've lost on the road.
Minnesota's the best team in the West. I don't care what people are saying right now with
that's wild because Renault show's not there.
He did show up though.
Yeah, well,
he can't train right now. They said right, I was gonna he's say got a he's while not, to go until he trains with the first team.
You think he ever gets back?
no, they're gonna sell him. It sounds like still this summer. So he'll just—I don't even know if he'll make an appearance, but he'll start training again, and that'll be that. But listen, Minnesota is only 2 points behind RSL, and they have 2 games in hand. I think Minnesota is still like the best in the West.
They came out like gangbusters, man. I mean, I don't know if they can keep that pace because I don't think they score enough. But we'll see.
They don't give up a lot though either. 11.
That's true. They do defend well, which has always been kind of a weird. They've always been kind of a what the kids call it these days mid. Such a mid defense. Because Dane St. Clair hadn't been good
so much.
Yeah. Well.
Go ahead.
But. Yeah, I mean, Dane St. Clair hadn't been as good, and they were kind of waiting for him to come onto the scene, and I think he's been just as good this year than he's been in years past, and I think he's shored up some of the mistakes. And Boxall, I think, is a great an anchor. So, I mean, just it'll be interesting because they do have a lot of young talent, like a lot of those guys that you kind of hope, you know. I hope they do get a good creative 10, though. That'd make that a lot of fun. Marco Royce for the Loons. That'd be fun.
Hmm. Yeah, who's he linked with?
I think the LA teams. LA teams. No,
I thought I saw, was it St. Louis?
Yes, that's who it was. LA teams in St. Louis.
Yeah. Yes,
you're correct. St. Louis was the, yep.
Yeah, because Berkey's trying to get him there. It's all about the goalkeepers. The goalkeepers getting their friends over there. Because
Lurice you have the whole Lurice French team
getting,
together.
Yeah, Lurice is getting the Frenchies over there in LAFC. That's official, by the way. Giroux is official, so that's fun. Antoine Griezmann is linked to MLS. We'll see if that happens.
Inter Miami's the number one team, which again we'll be questioning how the hell they pulled that off again if that happens. I just don't get it. I don't understand the rules now.
Well, like, I don't think it'll be Miami. I really don't think it'll be Miami. I think that was like a report that was a little too quick on the trigger. It's almost like anytime anybody is linked over here now, they just link them to Miami because that's the only team they know over there. They're like, yeah, he's going to play for Beckham.
Yeah.
But I would think maybe more like LAFC if he's going to hook up with his French compatriots over there. I mean, that would
make sense. Could you imagine? Like those, that would be so cool if it was Denis Bouanga and those two running around with them. And oh, gosh. Then I would just.
Bouanga probably would end up getting sold.
I think
if that's the case. Because then you'd have Giroux and Griezmann up front.
Yeah, that's dangerous.
Montreal we mentioned this before, lost to Miami. They had a 2-0 lead, and then boom, Miami storming back. This got some publicity, if I can talk today. Messi complaining about the new rule. Logan, why don't you give us the rundown on what the rule is and what's your thoughts on Messi complaining about this?
Yeah, so anytime that a player goes down and the ref deems that it's an injury that needs to be taken off the pitch, I forget how long you have to stay down. I think it's, is it 30 seconds? I can't remember the exact time that they have to stay down where the ref deems it too long. But it's pretty quick. Like, it's like you legit have to get off the pitch. And he stayed down for too long. So the ref deemed that it was one of those 2-minute penalties where he has to go sit on the side and wait to check back in. And it's funny because the Apple TV camera, they have one there at the fourth official all the time. And you can see him. He walks over, he looks into the camera, and he says, if this is what we're doing as a league, then we're regressing. And this is not a good look for the league, basically. Like, this, it was the sentiment that he had behind what he said. And it was translated, obviously. But it was like, basically, I don't agree with this. This is stupid if this is the way the league's going. And, I mean, I don't think it's an issue. I think what the league has done is correct. I think it helps. I think it, what Messi's issue with it is that it doesn't happen in Europe, and he's not used to that. Like, this wouldn't be a rule that European soccer, I think, would be comfortable with. But I think MLS, and with the way that concussions are and how much the U.S. really focuses on concussion in sport, and I think as well as the, you know, MLB's put in rules, the NBA's put in rules, like, pace of play now is so important to generations, not ours, because I think they're so used to watching things quickly. And the leagues realize that you could turn a fan off if they think that it's just a bunch of simulation and guys are just laying out on the pitch for no reason. And it just wastes their time. And I think that this ensures that the time wasting goes away. And I don't have much of an issue with it, but I guess the greatest player of all time does.
That's kind of how I read it too, is I don't think I read it as harshly as that, but I definitely just think he's like, this is not a great rule.
Yeah.
And the reason why he thinks it's not a great rule is, like you said, probably because it's not a typical rule. And it's something that then he had to miss 2 minutes while he's sitting on the sideline.
And a free kick's taken and scored while he's over there.
Scored while he's not the one doing it. Yeah. And I think that's just totally normal for a guy that's competing. He wants to be on the field. That's whatever. I think people making it a big deal is where it kind of like throws me off. I'm like,
it's ruining the league. Messi said it's ruining the league.
Like, yeah, like, we got to change the rule because Messi doesn't like it. No, you would complain if that was the case. You'd be like, well, they're bending the rules because Messi, blah, blah, blah. Look, we kind of talked about this another time off air, but it's like, players don't have to agree with the rules. Right. So if Messi doesn't like this rule, who cares? Enforce the rule. It's not like LeBron likes every foul call or
he doesn't like any of the foul calls. And,
he doesn't like rules, right? Like, I'm sure a lot of these famous players don't like. How many pitchers don't like the pitch clock?
Right, a lot of them.
Yeah. And that's the kind of thing where it's like, that doesn't matter though. It's the rule. They have to do it, and they can hate it all they want. That's kind of my thought on it. I think people are making it a bigger deal than it has to be. It's just like, yeah, just because it was caught on camera, he might complain about all these types of rules all the time. You know, and it's just never caught on camera.
Well, they all do. Oh, yeah. And he doesn't speak to American and the English English reporters. Like, he just won't. Do you – this is one rule that I kind of hoped would have carried over, and I know it will through the international competition, especially World Cup. But I loved what Qatar did to kind of negate the time wasting, and still teams did it. But that whole running clock where they had, I mean, there was not a game I didn't watch that had at least 8 to 10 minutes of stoppage time because of the goalkeepers and the guys laying on the pitch. And it kind of helped shore up some of those where teams were like, fine, if we're going to keep getting these, you know, 20 minute chunks added onto the game, then I'm not doing that. Like, I'm not going to go sit out there and lay on the field. I think it's kind of the same. But
yeah, I think that's a way to kind of stop it, right? It's yeah. like, all right, you're going to sit on the sideline then, so that way we don't have 30 minutes of stoppage time.
Right.
Yeah. I think the max for stoppage time should always be like 10. I don't think we should go above 10.
You don't think we should go to 15?
No.
Like the unit. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, no, thank you. Those are way... That's way too long. You're like almost playing an entire...
It's an entire extra time half.
Yeah, it's an entire extra time half. That's not what we need.
No.
So just limit ways to not have the clock keep going when there's stoppages in play, like this. All right, yeah, get off the field. We're going to keep playing. And in 2 minutes, you can come back on. Maybe you can shorten it from 2 minutes. Maybe you can do a minute and a half. I don't know. But
I think the goalkeeper one's coming. I think there will be a goalkeeper one eventually. I think the U.S. will be the first to – MLS will be the first league to do it. That'll penalize quicker because keepers waste so much time. It's so much time.
Well, we have a new rule for that, don't we, where they only have this – like they're supposed to
they can get
pull the trigger faster on like
– carded.
Yeah.
But
I thought they changed something where they're supposed to really focus on the goalkeepers not doing that, but
they need a better job. I hate when the goalkeeper goes down on the ball and just lays. And I'm like, are you serious? Or like,
except
it's not
when
even,
it's my it's team.
Just like, yeah, that's true. I hate when the keeper gets it like standing up and then they're just like, oh, and they fall down.
And falls
it.
Down.
Like, what
yeah.
the heck is that?
It's to waste a little bit of time.
It's frustrating. It is funny though, going to a game in America because we've not quite gotten used to a lot of, you know, we got a lot of new soccer fans and the amount of like just, and it's not even them not know. It's just because we are very new to it. They don't know the rules. So you just hear people booing for no reason. It's like, what are you yelling at? Or like, I can't stand it, but like, I'll be sitting there and then Orlando City fans are like, that's not a foul. And I'm like, that's clearly a foul.
And oh, that Orlando happens City all the time when I'm at it. Philly. Like, I think I talked about it when I went to the playoff game against the Revolution, but like, you know, my wife and I are in the stands and people are booing the ref and I'm like, I think he's got a pretty, he did pretty okay, except for like, mm-hmm. he missed a penalty that VAR got and he was able to correct that. But other than that, like people will boo and be like, what? And I'm like, dude, he like, especially when it's like Martinez, I'm like, he totally took that guy out. All right. Like, what
Let's
are you guys looking at over there?
Previous record there.
Yeah. What are you guys looking at? Like, there was a player that got injured on the Revs. I forget who it was. I think it was Hill, Carlos Hill, that got injured. And my wife was like, no, he's faking it. I'm like, dude, he's up and he's holding his hamstring. Mm-hmm. And the ref's not even looking at him. He's not faking it. And then he got subbed out like 2 minutes later. And I'm like, see, he really did need to get off the field. Yeah, so Atlanta losing another at home as DC comes up with 3 points on the road. So Atlanta has been kind of in this funk lately. I think that's an interesting thing. Just something to keep an eye on here as they're about to face off against, what, Cincinnati this week here. And then Nashville. So Cincy and Nashville, who they have coming up here. NYCFC in Toronto. I guess we could talk about this. John Herdman alleges that Nick Cushing, the head coach of NYCFC, punched one of his players in the face at halftime in March. And there was like a fight in that game. I think there was also one at the end of this game.
Yeah.
Apparently the cameras weren't working at Yankee Stadium that day, so it didn't actually catch it on camera. Cushing's like, I've never touched a player in 348 games. He knew the exact number of games, I guess. I didn't double check it.
Yeah,
but,
that was kind of weird. Yeah.
He knew the exact number of games. Like, he had to prepare for this. yeah, but the cameras weren't working in certain sections of the stadiums.
That's what happens when you work at a baseball stadium. The dugout cams don't catch out the football dugouts.
I don't know what to believe. I think this is a subject we can't really talk much on without running risk of getting sued. So the league will look into it and we'll find out. But yeah, like Tom Bogert said, how vehemently they deny this, Nick Cushing. And for good reason, he would probably get fired and never hired again if this is something he did. So really, John Herdman coming out strong with the accusations here against NYCFC. I know some people said, why wait until now to say it? The only thing I can think of is because he wanted to add some context on why this fight broke out at the end. But I don't know. Weird. Any thoughts? Any thoughts on this?
Yeah. Supposedly cornered Marshall Ruddy, who's 19 years old. They asked, who was it? They asked, oh, Jonathan Osorio. And he's like, if you come after a 19-year-old, not only as a teammate do I have a problem with that, but I've got a problem with that just in general. Like, that should never happen. And it is. It's tough to speak to this because it's all speculation. And in the heat of the moment, you don't know what you're doing. And when guys are shoving each other, a lot of times the hand gets near the face. And, you know, there's always a lot of that. I hate to say this and it happened, but, it's hard to imagine a coach punching somebody. But, you know, weirder things have happened. But again, I think it's a who's who situation. I don't think anything's ever going to come of it because I just don't think that unless a third party, like an official, saw this, I'm not sure. I mean, I could see this going maybe to like this almost ends up in like the laps of NYPD. Like this will be a police investigation, not a, because then you would get that whole, you know, assault charge, I would think. Depending on how young the kid is, it's like it's a battery and like it's all a mess.
Can't wait for the Law and Order episode that covers this.
This will be interesting, Law and Order episode. Yeah.
When they, you know how they always take stories from the headlines.
Yeah.
Can't wait to see them do this one.
Yeah.
I don't know. It is weird. We'll see, right? I guess.
Jonathan Herdman is not like a habitual, like he's not like a liar. So I don't.
Right. And Osorio apparently and backs this up.
Right. And none of the players kind of came out and denied it. Like none of the other the NYCFC players were kind of like.
But like Cushing doesn't lie. But look, you get this accusation thrown at you, you're gonna lie your ass off if you did it, right? But I mean, like,
I don't know. Johnson had an issue with it.
I don't know if we know any single. I don't know if we know coaches well enough to be able to say this kind of stuff.
No.
You know, I don't think MLS is that like open. Right. So we'll never know. Like, we still don't know what Bruce did.
Right.
We still have no clue what Bruce Arena did. Apparently he didn't punch anybody because this would not be, he would not be able to get rehired in that case. And he was able to at least have the stipulation that he can go to appeal, whatever. So, we probably know that Bruce Arena did not punch anybody, but we still have no idea what Bruce Arena did. And I don't think we'll ever really know what happened to this, especially if the cameras weren't working. And really, Yankee Stadium doesn't have the cameras working? Is it like, if you rent out of the stadium, do you have to like pay certain things to keep it running? Like, what's the rules there? For Yankees are a part owner of NYCFC.
Yeah. It would be security cameras. Like, they would always have security cameras on, I would think, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, because, well, you would think, because you don't want anything...
Like you would liability employee, wise, like right employees, you. Or you'd always have the camera. So this is, it's weird, it's strange. Like what, they find the one corner of Yankee Stadium that are like, yeah, can't see him.
Yeah, well, that's all we'll say on that. We don't know who's telling the truth, and that's how it's probably going to end up staying. LAFC smashed Vancouver 3-0. Pretty big victory there for LAFC as they keep climbing the standings. They're in fifth place. I think last week they were seventh, so they're climbing the standings. They're getting really close to Vancouver. It's kind of fallen off a little bit. Vancouver now down in fourth place, but they have a game in hand to LA and RSL, so they could definitely bounce back up there. But LAFC is rising. They're on the rise. Now they got Olivier Giroud coming over in the summer. Maybe linked to other players. Again, they don't need to win the Supporter Shield. They would love probably just getting in those playoffs, winning MLS Cup again, or getting to another final like they did last year. For the second time in a row. This would be their third time in a row, and they would end up probably facing a team like Miami or Cincy, which I think those two probably beat LAFC anyway, as it currently stands. I mean, I can't project outward. So I don't know. Any thoughts on LAFC and Vancouver? I know you're a big Vancouver guy lately, and here they are kind of slipping a little bit. Now they get to face off against Seattle, who's kind of rising a little bit. Can they use Seattle to get right?
I think they use Seattle to get right, but I think too, it's it comes with that territory, right? Of, and we see this all the time in other sports where, you know, the new kid on the blocks often has a harder time sticking around on the block, at least their first season when being competitive. It's that second year where they finally go, okay, we've been in there, we've compete, you know, we've been able to compete with some of the top teams in the East, or sorry, the West. And now, you know, and I think that's this season. I think they're like a piece away from being really special. Like they're missing that, right? I think they're missing that, the difference maker. They don't have, they're a good collective team. I just don't think they've got yet the difference maker. They need somebody else besides Brian White. And I think they need somebody else that's going to really kind of put their stamp on this game. And that might be in the midfield. And I think that that's ultimately what's going to happen is, they're just missing that killer, and I don't think they have it.
All right, I guess we'll take a look at Wednesday's games now, because we've got 2 days worth of games to kind of discuss as before we head out of here. Cincinnati and Atlanta will face off Wednesday at 7:30. DC versus Red Bull. Montreal and Columbus. That one's free on Apple TV. Orlando and Inter Miami, Philadelphia and NYCFC, those are all 7:30 games. The next games are all 8:30 Eastern. That's Austin and Houston, Chicago, Charlotte, Minnesota, LA Galaxy, Nashville and Toronto, St. Louis facing off against LAFC. Then you have your 9:30 games, Colorado, Vancouver, RSL, Seattle. And then 10:30 is Portland, San Jose. How about out of those Wednesday games, which one tickles your fancy?
Ooh, tickling my fancy. That's inappropriate. That's a really good question. I would almost want to say Orlando City and Miami. I'll do it. I'll be a homer this time. Inter Miami and Orlando. Messi coming to Orlando for the first time. Sounds like he's going to play. At least those people that are spending money on that, hope he is. But first time coming to the Lions Den, baby. And
Orlando, how much are City, tickets?
How much are tickets? I actually looked. Tickets, supporter section, Jordan. Well, yeah, they're bad. Yeah.
Supporter section, how much?
$100 each. And that's standing.
That's not too bad.
It's not too bad.
I would do that. I would do that to see Messi.
Think so?
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's when we get to like the hundreds and thousands that I would have
to sit down.
100 would be fine. I can stand.
Sit down, it's like 150.
I can stand for 45 minutes and then go to the bathroom and then come back and stand for another 45.
Well, you know what it is too? Like, honestly, it's like 150. That's normally what I'd pay to go to like an NBA game each. So,
right. Yeah.
You know, it's a lot for soccer because the seats that I would usually buy are $33. And I think I looked at those and they were like 160 for Messi. So each. So again, I think if you really want to see Messi, I don't think it's out of the question expensive. At least here in Orlando.
But nice. So you have that game. I'll pick. I think I'm going to go with DC, New York. DC's been much better than what I had thought they would be going into the season. And you have New York, who's been playing pretty well as well. It's going to be in DC at Audi Field. I think it's a pretty fun matchup. Both original MLS clubs from 1996, so long-standing rivalry. Yeah, sign me up for that. Saturday, we have a game at 1:45, Nashville and Atlanta. That's free on Apple TV and also on Fox. Then at 7:30, you have Charlotte versus Galaxy, Cincinnati and St. Louis, Miami and DC United, New England, Philadelphia, New York City FC versus Red Bull, Toronto, Montreal. Those are your 7:30 games. 8:30 is Austin, SKC, Chicago, Columbus, Houston, and Dallas. Minnesota versus Portland. Then at 9:30, RSL, Colorado. 10:30 is San Jose, Orlando, and Seattle, Vancouver. How about your Saturday pick?
I'm going to go Cincinnati, St. Louis. I guess you can consider those two Midwest teams. I know some people in Cincinnati argue they're not the Midwest. I don't know what you would call yourselves. But yeah, I'm going to go St. Louis, Cincinnati. I think that'll be St. Louis's first visit to TQL, which should be a lot of fun. And the way Cincinnati's playing, see if they can defend home field. St. Louis, you know, they've been better. I think they're kind of hovering around that last playoff spot. So I think anything that they can get as far as positive points here, I think would be a huge success. So if they can draw with Cincinnati, that would be massive. But man, Cincy's tough to beat at home.
That they are.
These games suck, by the way, on Saturday.
Yeah, Saturday is not as good as the Wednesday games. Maybe they should have flipped those. I'll go RSL Colorado. That's a pretty interesting matchup at 9:30.
Little rivalry right there.
Yeah, the mountain rivalry. Right. And what do they actually call it? Rocky Mountain Cup, right?
I think, yeah. So they must have Rocky Mountains over there, I guess.
Aren't all mountains rocky?
That's what I was going to argue. Don't say it. Don't say it.
I guess if you disagree with that, or if you actually know stuff about mountains, you can say, actually, in the comments below. You can rate and review us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. You can like and subscribe to us here on the YouTube channel. You can reach us at Stateside Show on all of our social medias or statesideshow@gmail.com for any sort of long-form feedback. Anything else before we get out here? Was there any other signings or news we needed to talk about? Jesse Marsh, coach of Canada.
Canadian national team. Yeah, that was the only thing. I was like, I have something, but I can't remember what it was. That is it, Jordan. Jordan, how upset will U.S. team people, fans, on a scale of 1 to 10, how big would how large would the madness be if somehow the Canadian national team bounces the U.S. men's national team for the World Cup? Because we have the chance. We have the chance to sign Jesse. He's right there for us.
I don't think Jesse Marsh would be that much better than Greg Berhalter anyway. So I can't say that we're actually missing anything. Fair. In that regard. I mean, so it's all hypothetical. I don't think that they... I mean, if they bounced us with anybody as their coach, that'd be fans would be at a 10 out of 10. Pissed off. You know? Maybe a little higher just because it is somebody that we would have... I think there would be people that would be like, we could have had him.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I actually don't know if he's going to be successful at Canada.
I don't think so. I was just saying, I'm pitching that to you. I don't think he'll be successful at Canada. Because I think they played out of their minds during qualifying. I think the Canada
they had
we saw in the
Canadian
World Cup.
Coach, right? Like yeah. John Herdman was coaching them, and he was, you know, doing very well there.
He's a magic man. He's turned Toronto around.
Yeah. But he is, he's English, so I guess that doesn't really matter. John Herdman. He's from England. Mm-hmm. But he had been with the Canadian system since he coached the women in 2011. So I'm sure he knew Canada pretty well in and out for the last 13 years. But I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. Jesse Marsh. So what happens to the podcast now? He's on the podcast with all the Americans. Does he leave that podcast on Galazzo? Yeah. Or is he...
Yeah, he leaves. I don't think they liked him there anyway, because I felt like I really didn't like him as a commentator. I always felt like he was jockeying for a job with the U.S. men's team. But
yeah, well, he didn't know how to say Yunus Musa either. So
No, it's important
Yusuf.
To know the players.
Yusuf
Musa. Yusuf is my favorite player from the U.S.
That's like when you're asking your uncle, like, who's your favorite player? And he's like, I really like that Landon Donovan guy.
You're right. Like, I like that LeBron Jordan.
That's a long
Jordan.
Time ago.
Yeah.
All right. Well, like I said, reach us at Stateside Show on all those social medias. U.S. Men's National Team fans, let us know. Are you upset Jesse Marsh went to Canada? Let us know in the comments below. Do you think he'll be successful there? Did USA miss the boat? Let us know. Have a great rest of your week. We'll catch you next week when we talk the Wednesday games and the Saturday games.